Welcome to the GBC Sermon Podcast, a weekly podcast from Gamia Baptist Church in Sydney, Australia. I'm Mark Grader, Senior Pastor here at GBC. And whether this is the first time you've tuned in or you're a regular listener, welcome. This week we conclude our series we've called The Space Between, in which we're thinking about how we journey through change. In this message, I reflect on the difference going through change with God can bring, reflecting on Isaiah 49, verses 8 to 21. Well, this is the last week of our sermon series, The Space Between. And as I mentioned at the very beginning of the service, I thought it might be appropriate, given that we are farewelling Mark and Nicolie today, but also that as we're about to enter the start of our ministry year, that it might be good to return to an illustration I used in November of 2019, one that I had seen Danielle Strickland use in a presentation on change. And that is the space between the exercise ball of chaos and the second wobbly chair. And for those of you who were a part of our community of faith in November of 2019, you might remember that I actually set this up on our platform, that there were four chairs and an exercise ball in the middle. The two chairs on the outside were stable and kind of set, and they represented the old normal and the new normal. What is stable for us now and what will be stable when we go through the process of change. The two inside chairs had a wedge under one of the legs, and they were a little bit wobbly. And they represented the uncertainty, the ambiguity, somewhat of the anxiety that we can experience when we have left the old normal, and it's all a little bit wobbly for us, and when we are not yet at the new normal and are still experiencing kind of getting used to it. And then in the middle is the exercise ball of chaos. I don't think I need to explain that to you at all. It is all of the uncertainty as we step off of what we do know into something that we have not yet encountered. And in 2019, I suggested that as a community of faith that we were about to step onto the exercise ball of chaos. Little did I know that there'd be a global pandemic around the corner. I spoke more truly than I knew at the time. But nonetheless, as a community of faith, as we stepped into what God was calling us to, it was a recognition that there was going to be some uncertainty, that there were going to be some things that we simply couldn't know and didn't know, and we're going to have to trust God within that, but that there was something worthwhile on the other end. And for Mark and Nicolie, at the same time, they're about to step off of the wobbly chair onto the exercise ball of chaos and in a few weeks' time land on the other side, begin to make sense of their new normal. And so I thought it might be useful for us to just briefly consider some of the promises of God for those of us, whether it be Mark and Nicolie or us as a community of faith, or each one of us in whatever changes that we're going through, to think about some of the promises that God makes to us. And so I'd like to reflect briefly on some of the promises found in Isaiah chapter 49. If you have your Bibles with you and want to have a look at that, I'll start in verse 8 of chapter 49. But before I do, I think it's worth noting that there is a fairly important piece of context to Isaiah 49 that we do not share. Isaiah 49 is written to comfort the people of Israel who are going through, not necessarily a period of change, although it was, but we're going through a very significant test of faith. They had been exiled from the land due to their unfaithfulness to the Lord. And we're spending 70 years in exile, scattered around the world at the time. And they were given these promises of restoration and renewal in that context. That's quite different from the situation that we find ourselves in as a community of faith, or that Mark and Nicolie find themselves in as they step into this new role. But I do believe that at the 30,000 foot level in this text, there are some really important principles that we can draw comfort from as we go through our own processes of change. Because as we know, it's not so much the change itself that is hard. It's the uncertainty of it. It's the loss. There are things that we lose when we go from one situation or one space to another. In the midst of change, we have to deal not so much with the change. I can't remember who where I read this, but I remember someone reading, someone suggesting that what people resist in change is not the change. It's the loss that accompanies the change. And the experience of uncertainty, the experience of walking from the old normal to the new normal, in the midst of that uncertainty and the ambiguity and the anxiety that that can raise, I think it's really helpful to turn again to the promises that we have in God. So let me read this section to you, starting in verse 8 of Isaiah 49. This is what the Lord says. In the time of my favor, I will answer you, and in the day of salvation, I will help you. I will keep you and will make you to be a covenant for the people, to restore the land and to reassign its desolate inheritances, to say to the captives, come out, and to those in darkness, be free. They will feed beside the roads and find pasture on every barren hill. They will neither hunger nor thirst, nor will the desert heat or the sun beat down on them. He who has compassion on them will guide them and lead them beside springs of water. I will turn all my mountains into roads, and my highways will be raised up. See, they will come from afar, some from the north, some from the west, some from the region of Aswan. Shout for joy, you heavens. Rejoice, you earth. Burst into song, you mountains. For the Lord comforts his people and will have compassion on his afflicted ones. But Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me. The Lord has forgotten me. Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has borne? Though she may forget, I will not forget you. See, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are ever before me. Your children hasten back, and those who laid you waste depart from you. Lift up your eyes. Look around. All your children gather and come to you. As surely as I live, declares the Lord, you will wear them all as ornaments. You will put them on like a bride. Though you were ruined and made desolate and your land laid waste, now you will be too small for your people, and those who devoured you will be far away. The children born during your bereavement will yet say in your hearing, this place is too small for us. Give us more space to live in. Then you will say in your heart, who bore me these? I was bereaved and barren. I was exiled and rejected. Who brought these up? I was left alone. But these, where have they come from? Words of profound comfort and hope for a people in exile. And words that I believe bear some reflection for us, wherever we might be, in the journey of change. And again, that might be the change that Mark and Nicolai are facing. It might be the change that we're going through as a community of faith. Or it might be a change that you are experiencing in your own personal life or in your family. I think there's a few things to note here. I couldn't help, given what we reflected on last week, to note that when we go with God, when we are stepping into the unknown, when we are moving towards the new normal that He has in store for us, we can do so with a profound sense of peace. I couldn't help but notice the authority of God that is repeatedly declared in this passage. I couldn't go past the references to His compassion, and I couldn't miss the references to His mission, His declarations of His authority, His affirmations of His care, and the plans and purposes that He had for His people outlined all the way through this text. And if you want a little bit more about that, I reflected on those that blueprint for peace out of Mark chapter 4 in last week's message, and encourage you to have a listen to that as we think about what peace looks like. But for those of us who are stepping out with God into the new normal, we can do so with a profound sense of peace. And this is the remarkable promise that God gives us, isn't it? I mean, the experience of change, moving into something unknown, can be really disconcerting. But to be able to step into something new with the deep and profound sense of peace, that God is with us, that God's compassion is for us, that God's authority is unchallenged, and that His mission proceeds, that He will always complete what He sets about to do, that gives us tremendous peace. But I was also really struck in this passage at who does the work. At who does the work? Like moving towards this new normal, moving towards this glorious day of restoration, who does the work? And it is not the people of Israel. It's not the people of Israel at all. It is solidly in the hands of the Lord. And we see this right at the very beginning of this passage in verse 8. In the time of my favor, I will answer you, declares the Lord. And in the day of salvation, I will help you. I will keep you, and I will make you to be a covenant for the people. It is the Lord's activity. He is the one who brings their children back, who sends their enemies far away. This is the work and activity of God. And while it's comforting to know that on our journey forward, that it is God's work, it is God's resources, it is His energy that is bringing about His ends, while that in and of itself is very comforting for us, it actually got me thinking again a little bit more about peace. I don't know if you remember being a child and going on a trip with your parents. I don't have lots of memories of them, scattered memories of long car trips from Toronto to the east coast of the United States to visit my mother's family, or trips just a little bit shorter in southern Ontario to visit my father's family. But those trips in the car, what I do remember is that I didn't worry. I didn't have any concerns about what was taking place. Now, maybe it was because I was just a kid and I didn't think too much of it, but I didn't worry about the packing. That was Dad's job. I had to make sure that I had all my stuff and the bag out by the car, and he packed it all up. I didn't think at all about what food we would be taking or where we would be stopping or about who had the passports to get across into the United States when we needed to do that. I didn't have any questions about where we were going to stay or any of those sorts of things. And as a parent, when the girls were younger, we did the same thing. You don't want your children to be worried about the holiday that you're about to go on. You don't want them worried about whether there's enough petrol in the car or whether there's enough air pressure or about where you're going to stop or about the food you're going to eat or all of those sorts of things. You take care of all of that. And the reason why you take care of those things is not just so that your children don't worry, but so that they can enjoy themselves. And it struck me that when God does what God does, when He shows us His favor, when He answers, when He helps, when He restores, when He does what He does, it's not just so that we don't have to do anything. It's actually so that we can find joy in the journey. That we can find joy in the midst of the uncertainty and the ambiguity. I mean, when I traveled with my family, there were passages of the trip that after a few years, a few times doing it, you kind of knew the way. But really, I didn't have to worry about all that stuff. I was just able to enjoy it. Perhaps you've been on a holiday that's been all expenses paid. I mentioned a cruise, but I'm not sure that it might be too soon to go there. But an all expenses paid holiday where everything is taken care of. And the point of that is that you can then just enjoy yourself because everything is taken care of. No hidden costs, no new expenses, all paid up front. Just enjoy. This is the outcome of God's activity in the midst of change. That as God moves, as God brings about His plans and purposes, we are set free not only to experience peace in the uncertainty around us, but also to genuinely enjoy what we are experiencing. It's not often our experience of change, is it? Our experience of change is often, shall we say, all too human, full of anxiety and fear and worry. And the grief sometimes of loss. And yet God invites us into a peace and joy that also contains an element of, guess what I might call surprise. I don't know if it was a long reading. I don't know if you kind of stayed with me to the very end. But I love the depiction of Mother Israel at the end of the passage. Because the mother is almost confused by what's taken place. The children have gathered around her, and she says in her heart, verse 21, who bore me these? I was bereaved and barren. I was exiled and rejected. Who brought these up? I was left alone. But these, where have they come from? Surrounded by children, surrounded by grandchildren, Mother Israel is able to kind of say with surprise, how did this happen? And I think that there's something really powerful and wonderful about walking with God through change. Because when we walk with God through change, not only is there the capacity for peace, not only is there the capacity for joy in the journey as we rest in God's activity, but there's also the opportunity to be surprised. And I was thinking a little bit about this because, you know, part of the challenge of change, of course, is the uncertainty principle, right? I mean, I think if we knew for certain what the outcome was going to be at the end of the day, if we knew that the outcome was going to be positive, if we knew we were going to end with joy and worship and heaps of kids around us, if it was all going to turn out great and we knew that, change would be easy, wouldn't it? I mean, I'd be willing to go through a little bit of uncertainty or a little bit of loss if I knew that the outcome was going to be heaps better than what I'd experienced in the past. That's an easy decision. But when I began to think about the uncertainty that we experience in change, and then the fact that that surprise is still uncertain, but it's just a little bit further down the road. The difference between uncertainty and surprise seems to be a matter of time. You know, if you came into your house and your partner, your child, your brother, your sister stopped you at the door and said, "Close your eyes and follow me." That's uncertain, isn't it? They said to you, "I've got a surprise for you." You still don't know what it is. What are we talking about? Is there a puppy? Is there a surprise party? Is my close friend, my dear friend from overseas here? What am I looking forward to? We don't know. But there's an anticipation in the surprise, and we anticipate joy at the end. And if, because we are traveling with God, we know that there is joy in the making, that there is joy to come because of what God is doing, then the uncertainty that we are experiencing in the midst of change is actually, again, transformed into a little bit of anticipation of joy, the surprise factor of what God is doing. I mean, can you imagine getting to the end of whatever change process you're in and saying to yourself, kind of like Mother Israel does, "Wow. Wow, where did all these come from? What happened? Everything was so uncertain, so filled with ambiguity, so dark, and now, wow." When we walk with God through the changes of our lives, be it a change of role from one church to another, whether it be changes as a community of faith as we continue to follow after where God is leading us, whether it be changes in your family or businesses or life circumstances, when we go through those with God, we have access to a deep and profound peace based in His authority, His compassion, His mission. And that peace actually leads us to the experience of joy as God does the major work of change in our lives, ultimately then enabling us not to go through so much uncertainty, but with just a tinge of surprise, looking forward to what it is that God will do. You know, we hope and pray that for Mark and Nicoli, that not only will they experience peace in this period of transition, but that they will also experience the work of God that brings true joy and surprise for them. I pray the same for us as a community of faith. And whatever change you may be going through right now, I hope and pray that you will experience the same today. When we travel with God through change, we can do so with a peace that passes understanding, with an ability to enjoy the journey, and with a sense of anticipation. I hope that whatever change you are facing this year, you will face it with your hand in the hand of God. Thanks so much again for joining us this week. And don't forget, you can join us for Sunday services at gbconline.org.au at 9:30 Australian Eastern Standard Time for our online services, or visit our website at gymeabaptist.org.au for service times on site. Until then, God bless.